The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. So our theme for today is most certainly prayer. We have these images in front of us that Jesus paints, perhaps different than the images that we have of God, and we're meant to let these images then inform our imagination, shape what it is we believe and what we think about God. Some of it is a bit perhaps tricky, because this idea of waking a friend up at midnight, I mean, it turns quite comical to say, well, if not for the relationship, then just for the fact of his persistence, right? Just for the fact of you're standing there knocking. And we can think of, to some extent, we can think of it. We don't understand, you know, perhaps in the house back then, there would have everybody sleeping on the floor, the father all the way away from the door, realizing he has to wake everybody up to get out to get to the friend, and what kind of a stir it would create in the house, just totally, turn over everything that was going on that night. I mean, we know what we're like when we don't get enough sleep, and let alone the rest of everybody in the house not getting enough sleep that night. But the persistence of the man knocking at the door, we would go because of the nuisance. We would go because of the annoyance, and yet perhaps we're not supposed to believe that about God, but just that he's in fact rewarding persistence, and that God knows what lies behind persistence, and that persistence, when we come to God in prayer, is driven by trust. It's driven by trust, and sometimes that trust feels quite desperate, I'd say. You know, God, I have nowhere else to turn. Do you know, this is a beautiful, it's a beautiful little prayer. I have nowhere else to turn. The reality is that we don't have anywhere else to turn. Especially when it comes to, I would say, real Christian prayer, which is the nourishment, it's our sustenance to live the life that God's called us to live. So it's not so simple as, because I could stand up here and be Joel Osteen today. Right, I could say, seek and you'll find. Knock, the door will be open to you. Right, you want to be rich, God will make you rich. You want to be, these are all lies, by the way. Right, you want to be healthy. You want everybody around you to be happy. Well, then pray, seek, knock. Okay, it's not it. Let's look at the first reading just briefly to give you some sense of what this is and what real prayer is. "You have said," so this is the prophet, this is Malachi speaking to the people, "you have said, 'It is vain to serve God.' And what do we profit by keeping his command?" It is vain to serve God. Okay, look, what is the scorecard here? What is the people's scorecard? It is vain to serve God. And what do we profit by keeping his command? Rather, must we call the proud blessed? And we can understand this in our day. We could look around and see, I'm trying to restrain my tongue here. think of what to call these folks, but we can see people who are not interested in following God's way and yet are rich, seem to be happy, right? They seem to be, I don't know, they're the people that ever that we put up on the pedestal and say, hey, that guy's got everything. And how is it that he has everything? He has health and he has money and I'm stuck over here with my lot and what. And so we say, right, it is vain to serve God. Right? That's the rebellion of our own hearts, is that we're looking for something for ourselves in serving God. That's the twisted part of where we end up. We kind of look around and think about what we have, our own view of what a blessed life is, and because we're Americans, we think that that's money and quote unquote secure money to the point of quote unquote security, because you're not secure, safety, privacy, pleasure, right? Because we're Americans, and those are like the high points, supposedly, that's the American dream, the high points of the American dream. So we say, like, that's our dream, that's our imagination. And then we wonder why God's not giving that to us. It's very, very strange of God to not give that to us. But that's the complaint of the people in that first reading. And what God then has to do is reorient our entire life. And we have to then sign on to him and take on his standard of what it means to be blessed. We'll find in him and in his will purpose, a life of purpose, a meaning. That's perhaps the deepest desire of our heart, to live a life of purpose and meaning. But it's all about our giving ourselves entirely over to him and then living the way that he, not the way, sorry, living out the life that he wants us to live. It's not the way, like there is a way, because as soon as I say that, it's boring. You know, you've got to behave because God wants you to behave. I'm not saying that. I'm saying here God wants you to live a fully flourishing human life. That's what it means to be blessed. He will enable that when you go to him in prayer and you seek and you persist, when you persevere, when you trust and follow where he leads. That's where you find your whole life. That's why the clincher here in this passage is, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What if I were to say that the only gift God is going to give us is the Holy Spirit? He's not going to give you money. He's not going to give you health. He's not going to give you... Okay, he will, right? But I'm saying, what if that were the only gift that God were to give? Is that enough for you? It needs to be. It needs to be enough for you. And so today we come before God. We beg him to give us his Holy Spirit. He'll take care of the rest.